Do you know why the Beatles are called the Beatles?
No.
They named themselves after Buddy Holly and the Crickets.
Is that a joke?
No, that's not a joke. That's a true story. It's not what we call interesting or amusing.
Right.
But it's what I heard.
Okay.
And also, I was just in London. The end.
Great.
All right. And we're off and running. And welcome to episode 115 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. And with me, as always,
it's Adam.
I didn't say the is part. That one's on me, Adam.
Yeah. No, it's Adam. I'm here.
In
Vancouver.
Oh, boy. I don't like when we get off to the start like this.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a freight train.
Let's just forget it this week.
I'm going to go back to bed.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I have a 1.5-year-old. I don't sleep.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that.
Okay.
A little bit late this week, maybe.
Why?
I don't know if this show is going up late or not.
Why?
I was in London.
Oh. You can't, like, set it to post?
Probably. Well, yeah-ish. There's a lot of interconnected parts that don't jive.
Yeah, from my end, it just goes up. Like, I just check the computer.
Yeah, no, you definitely have a better setup than I do.
I don't know why it doesn't work like that on your end.
Yeah.
Like, I just go on the web, and I just look, and I say, oh, there it is.
Hey, Monday morning, there it is. Wow. Hey, look, it's got cover art and everything. Hey, you know what I realized from your show a couple weeks ago? I did your album art. I was like, oh man, I'm gonna, like, we talked about it on the show even, but I was like, I'm so clever, I'm gonna do the full Schwartz, like full black, man, like the album, like, oh my god, you know, it's gonna be, it'll be nonstop emails of how genius I am. Mostly from myself, right? But and then I look back, and the one I did of you in the dark room, remember we did the episode where you shot film and developed it?
Yeah.
Full black. But I was extra clever then because I did red lettering.
Oh, okay.
As if it's the red light of the dark room, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess I was probably more clever back then.
Yeah, you've lost a notch.
But both of yours have been the full black cover.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks for spoiling it.
Thanks for the last couple weeks ago, but I'll try to put more effort on your episodes from now.
Okay. So I appreciate
just
that.
Just phoning it in. So yeah, I had to pop over to London for a couple days for a little R&R.
Right.
Reading and writing.
Right.
No, just a couple buddies were in town, and so it was a in and out trip. Nobody got hurt.
But you've already been?
Depends. If you're listening to this now, yes. But for you while we're talking, no, I have okay. not.
All right.
So we're recording a couple days early because I am going to London.
Right.
But when you've heard this, do you understand how time works, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's big hand, little hand. It's very confusing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're on the same page now. Did you shoot anything interesting since we last spoke 4 minutes ago?
No, but you said I would get to talk about the photos that I tried to talk about on the last episode, and then you like said that I had to wait because we would have nothing to talk about this time.
I changed my mind. You should have talked about it last week. No, that was probably the more timely. Okay, I'll get mine out of the way. I did buy some 35mm film, and I've got a big order of that. Came in.
Okay. All right. Big order.
Because I'd ran out and haven't shot in a while. And part of it was I want when I have been to London, I will only have taken my Canon FTB and a 50mm lens.
Okay.
I'm not taking any digital cameras. I'm just going to go and enjoy my trip and take some black and white photos for fun.
Okay. Because there's kind of a rule, right? When you go to London with a couple of buddies.
Yes. What's the rule?
Don't take photos.
Oh, that's Vegas.
Yeah. I thought same thing applied in London when you're two buddies in a hotel room.
Well, it's going to be all three of us.
Right.
It's going to be three buddies who all have kids under the age of five.
Well, wait, you and three others?
No, three of us total.
Yeah, that's what I said.
But we all have kids under the age of five. So right. Something tells me it's just going to be all of us sleeping till noon every day. How was London? Don't know. Did not get out of the apartment, out of the hotel.
Right.
Didn't go see anything. No, yeah, you're right. You probably don't want to run around just snapping a million photos. Nothing bad's going to happen. It's just you want to go and have fun instead.
Right.
And I also don't want to worry about my camera. I just want to bring my FTB and boom, done. So I bought film for it and a whole bunch of film. Hopefully it's going to last me through the summer because I ordered it all online at once.
Great.
So that's what I did. Shot one roll. Haven't processed it yet. Adam, you shot some jumping pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I shot some pictures. It was one of those things where you finally get nice weather and you decide you're going to go out and take some sunset pictures, and then you realize that they'd be more interesting if you did something silly in them. Uh-huh. So I took about two pictures of the sunset, and then I said, what else can I do? So I sat my tripod up, the GorillaPod. Again, I tend to keep that attached to my camera bag so it's always there if I want it,
and yep.
Put the camera on the tripod and mounted it. Well, that GorillaPod's low, so I put it right down on the ground and angled it up, and then found kind of a I just kind of went right to the edge of the dike. I'm on the dike in Steveston, and I just started jumping and taking some photos. So I had in my camera bag the wireless radio trigger that I bought.
Yep.
So I put that on the camera, and then I had a flash in the bag and my trigger. So I put my trigger on one bare flash and sort of set it just off to the side. And then I basically proceeded to jump up and snap photos, trying to make it look like I was, you know, jumping extremely high when I wasn't.
These are good photos, and people seem to like them. So I want to talk a little bit more about how you came about to get these set up.
Okay.
So you said you used a flash, but in terms of getting this dialed in, where did you start?
Exposure-wise. I basically just took the landscape photo. So I just basically took a few, and again, this was right near sunset, so light's changing pretty quick.
So what mode are you in?
I am in manual mode.
Okay.
Full manual, and mm-hmm. basically I just dial the settings in to get what I wanted the background to look like.
Okay.
And then simply plugged myself in with the flash to get the exposure that I wanted on myself.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah.
And shutter speed was around one one-thousandth of a second or what?
No. Shutter speed was at the maximum sync speed for that camera.
Coincidentally, so, did you know you'd be adding flash?
When I decided to do this?
Yeah, well, you said you set up for the background first and then thought, hey, I'm going to add myself in.
Yeah, well, I think I might have taken a couple of background photos like completely with a different shutter speed and everything. Okay. But then once I decided that I was going to be in it, then I basically went down to the maximum sync speed of my camera and dialed it in from there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so either way, yeah, I started at the maximum sync speed. And then I basically just added the flash and myself, and then started jumping up and just trying to hit the shutter at the top of my jump.
So this was the maximum. If I was going to guess, I was going to guess that you were shooting at a slow shutter.
No, why? Because of the little blur there.
You have the little blur. You have the sort of shadow effect.
Yeah.
You have some blur on some couple of shots in your feet. You can see a little bit of motion.
Yeah,
blur.
Yeah. Because I'm kicking them extremely fast. I'm
airwalking. You are quick.
Yeah,
you are quick. You know what people don't know about you is that you were runner up to Ben Johnson in the 88 Seoul Olympics. If not for the steroid scandal, you probably would have been racing Carl Lewis that day.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. No, they're all at that's the 6D that I'm taking the photos with. They're all at a 1/160th, which is the max sync speed for that camera.
Ah, okay. Now, it's not that 1/200th or 1/250th is, you know, 10 times faster, but it is enough that it may have stopped that motion.
Yeah.
You know what? There's
and in some of them, when it got darker, the last couple. Oh, I think I only posted one of the dark shots.
Yeah.
It does stop it, but it doesn't stop it in. And I don't know if that's just again because I have crazy kicky legs and in some of them. But yeah, it's interesting because my face is usually frozen, but yeah, the blur is usually right in the feet because I guess my head isn't being flung back and forth at the same speed that my feet are moving.
Right. Hopefully not, otherwise you'd probably knock yourself unconscious.
Well, here's the thing, is that after I took those photos, I got home and I was like, wow, I'm sore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shouldn't have jumped up and down 30 times or whatever it was.
How many did you take? Would you say 30?
Yeah, probably about that.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of jumping.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I have to say is that in some of them, I have to admit, I look like I'm pretty high. Mm. I don't think I was very high off the ground.
Yeah.
So it's some sort of optical illusion.
As if he did it on purpose or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
no,
I was really hoping it would be, you know, it'd be something like, I really like the ones that are, that get the sunset in them. I think it is a very cool effect. I wish it had been someone else in the photo rather than myself, because it would have, I don't know, to me, I would maybe do something with the photos other than post them on Facebook, but here we are.
Well, no, that's something to add to your notebook of here's things to do, that like ideas down the road.
Yeah. No, it is kind of a fun thing to do. And wow, did I get a bunch of stares on the dike, because this is a spot where a lot of people just kind of pull up in their vehicles and take pictures at sunset.
Yes.
And so, yeah, no, it was a bit of a show for what I was doing.
By yourself, too.
Oh, yeah. That's fully by myself part. And, you know, cameras down there on the ground, and yeah.
My only tip for that is I would add the extra level of just start talking to yourself. And just argue, but arguing back and forth with yourself really loudly.
Right.
And
I'll have to try that next time.
That will crank it up a notch. That is a very popular spot.
Yeah,
for photos.
It is. So, yeah. It's a sunset spot. Like, so people just randomly are pulling up and, you know, standing. So, you know, often husband and wife and, you know, taking pictures of each other. And here's me like 3 feet away from them, just like seriously giving it, right? Like trying to get the maximum vertical and, you know, flash going off and everything. And,
on every picture, you should have just yelled out, "Vin Diesel, slam dunk." That would have been awesome.
Yeah, I'll remember that for the next time.
If next time I'm in town, we'll do that, and I'll make a video of you doing that.
Perfect.
Awesome. Something to look forward to. No, they're a good result. That's why a good call on the pictures.
All right. See, and that's the thing is that I don't know. This is where I have trouble, because going out and taking the picture, like, you know, I think a lot of people would have that picture minus me, you know, just the sunset picture. And then, to me, it's great. It's just not that interesting.
You know, it's funny. I hadn't thought of it until you just started talking about this picture. I wrote it down for a future episode. We're going to talk all about exactly what you're talking about right now.
Okay.
This very thing, because it is ironical. Coming up later in the show when we talk about our challenge photos, I did the exact same thing you did without seeing your pictures or not knowing. Like there's a different, not the exact same thing, but for the exact same reason you're talking about,
right?
Just to give it a little something extra. And unfortunately, in a similar situation as you, I was by myself.
Right.
I would have 100% rather have put somebody else in the picture, but we'll get to that. So that's it. That's a great idea.
Okay, so
we'll talk about it.
You got anything to tell us about interesting photos you did in the last few minutes?
No. I just bought the 35mm stuff. That was my interesting stuff.
Oh, I bypassed it because it really wasn't that interesting.
Oh, trust me, it is to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Which lens did you shoot those with?
Oh man, I don't even remember.
What
should I know that?
No, I don't know. I don't know either.
I think it's. Let me go back and check. I think it might have been with the new 50mm.
Because
I might have just.
I don't care if it is or wasn't. My point was, my segue was, hey, did you buy a new 50?
Yeah, but didn't I mention it in the last
in passing? In the last,
Okay. Yeah, so no, it is. I just checked the EXIF data, yeah. And it was with the 50 millimeter. I think that was the whole point. I went out, and I had the 50 millimeter. I had just gotten it, and this was like that evening that I had it.
Okay. I'm gonna slow it down.
Okay, I'm going to take some pictures with that lens.
No, not that.
Should I talk slower?
No, you should tell us which lens it is.
It's a 50 millimeter 1.4, the Canon 1.4. You have the lens.
There we go. Yes, I knew that.
Yeah.
But what we're going to do is paint a word picture for the listeners who didn't know that you went to Seattle last weekend.
Yeah.
2 weekends ago.
Yes.
And while you were there, purchased a new 50 millimeter 1.4.
I did, and you know what was funny is I wanted to buy the hood, the Canon hood, which apparently in Seattle is an impossibility. Like, nobody stocks it. You'd have to order it online.
Mm-hmm.
So the camera stores would bring it in for you, but nobody actually carries it in stock.
Really?
And so, yeah, so I just, so I ended up buying just like a generic one, a Polaroid one. So
okay.
It seems to work just fine. It's a pedal hood instead of like the bayonet hood.
Uh-huh.
And it's the only thing is, and it doesn't matter for me, but other people it might not work for because it uses the threads, like you have to screw it on. So if you wanted to have a filter on it as well, then you couldn't use that.
I bet you it stacks, but you can chain them together.
So I don't know, again, because I don't really use filters. So
You're gonna. Yeah,
anyway, so, but it seems to work just fine, and I haven't had any problems with it. And it was a quarter the cost. And the crazy thing is, I think I looked up the cost of the Canon lens hood in Canada, because I know you talked about it previously, is the lens hoods here, there's quite a markup.
I actually bought mine in Canada. I was stuck. I needed one that day, had no choice, so I purchased mine in Canada. It was about the same price as my plane ticket to Vancouver.
I was going to say, I think it's around $60.
Yeah, mine wasn't quite that much, but close enough to just call it that.
Yeah, and the price, the B&H price, because I looked it up, so at B&H Photo, it's $26.
Yes.
So, and again, in the store price, like the retail price that the guy told me at the camera store would have been $35. So still, it's still, even from the camera store price, it's almost double what it costs in Canada.
To be fair, it is a piece of plastic, though.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. So I'm quite okay with the Polaroid one that was $10.
See,
so.
here's the kicker, is that the 50mm 1.4 is fairly recessed. If you look in it, it sort of almost has a built-in lens hood.
Yeah, it is. It is a little bit, yeah.
But because I am really anti-UV filter, that's what I use to protect my lens. I don't like using a lens cap even, and so this kind of does all that for me. So for me, it was worth the money considering the situation I was in. I would have preferred to pay $26.
Right.
In the situation you find yourself in, I think 10 was the way to go.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's exactly my thinking, was that I just wanted the protection. Like, you know, just so that I don't bang the front element off of something.
Which, I mean, in this case, if you do bang it, it may mess up your filter threads on your lens, possibly.
Right.
So I would recommend not banging it. And when you say pedal, is it one of the rubber ones that extends?
No. It's just, instead of a bayonet, it's got like, kind of like the 30 mil Sigma.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's kind of like a leaf sort of shape. I don't know how else to explain it. Pedals, whatever.
Because they have the old rubber ones
all the way around. It kind of has, like little leafs to it.
Gotcha. Like the 70-200 f/2.8 lens. That one comes with the leaf. Pedal one you just said.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's called that, but it should be called that. If not,
yeah, I like it. Makes sense in my head.
Yeah, I like it. No, I always keep my eye out for the old rubber ones that are wind in on the filter as well, but they're made of rubber, so they kind of collapse on themselves.
Okay.
And then extend, like they telescope, essentially.
Oh.
Not really good for protection so much, because, you know, they're rubber, but good for the rest of the stuff you need.
And putting it in your bag without, you know, needing to take it off or anything.
Exactly. So those come in handy, but I can never find the 55 mil wind on, which is kind of what I wanted. But you know,
I do have to say what a great size for that lens. Like, it is very small,
yes.
And so super. I can see that for the full frame setup as just being, you know, like the everyday lens, like that you just have on because it's so portable. The 60 is already, you know, a fairly compact camera. Well, really compact for a full frame. And then with that lens on it, it's really small, be real easy to throw that into a small camera bag and just, you know, have it to walk around with all day.
And it looks very unassuming.
Exactly.
When you walk around.
And with that little pedal hood, even more so. Right? Like, nobody's stealing that.
When you're walking around with your 70 to 200, you're basically advertising.
Yes.
Hey, everybody. Look at me. And the other good thing about the 50 1.4 is, especially compared to the 1.8, is it focuses incredibly fast.
Yes, and that was my main beef with the 1.8. I mean, I love that lens, and I shot with that lens pretty much exclusively for the first year and a half that I really kind of got into digital photography, because I did away with the kit lens after about a week. But loved the 50 1.8. But as I got into shooting the kids doing activities more, where they are constantly moving, it was starting to frustrate me to no end. So that was my main reason for the move from the 50 1.8. And I sold that lens. I took it out skating. I think I talked about it way back, and got just so unbelievably frustrated about its lack of ability to focus with them quickly moving, that was my main motivation. And right away, I took a few pictures of the kids just playing today, playing baseball, like out in the front yard. And I was super happy with how quickly it focused.
Plus, you just bought yourself a good video lens.
Okay. Didn't even think about it, but I'm sure I'll get some use.
The 50 1.8, one of the issues with it, I mean, it's awesome. I still recommend it. If you don't have one, if you're just breaking in, you have an entry-level camera and all that, buy the 50, beat the hell out of it, and then throw it away or sell it or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Like the jump from the kit lens is fantastic. Your results are absolutely great.
And for $100.
For $100, yeah. Well, probably $120 in Canada now.
Yeah.
But again, not very much money for what you get.
Right.
On the other hand, though, if you want to go from autofocus to manual focus, you have to switch that. You have to flip a switch.
Right.
And if you don't, if somebody, and this happened to me. Somebody, you know, picked up my camera, oh, good, new lens, and decided to just manually focus when it was locked, and it makes that kind of sound.
Yeah.
That's not a good sound.
It's like when you turn the starter on your car and you've already started it.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what that's like. And it doesn't make you feel good. Right. Especially when someone else does it. Oh, boy. How about we all take turns putting my camera down? Starting with you. The 1.4 is a just grab it and focus. Like you can manual focus while it's in autofocus mode.
Right.
So it's fine. And so the good news is when you go to shoot video, it is really like 1,000 times better to manually focus with than the 1.8 is.
Okay.
Because that 1.8's got that little tiny little ring on the front, right?
Yeah, it's a very small ring. And I always had trouble with that. Again, not that I manual focus ever except for video.
Right. Now, well, your life just got better.
Yeah.
Or more complicated.
So, yeah. Well, I'm gonna go try it tomorrow. I'm going to try to shoot some video with it.
Good. Awesome. Last week's Exifoku results.
I've been waiting for it.
It's been a long 30 minutes. we left ISO out of the equation.
Okay.
And so mine was the one where the reflected light, my daughter eating her scarf.
Right.
Remember it?
Yeah.
I shot that. It was an ISO 640, which is sort of deceiving. You wouldn't think in daylight you'd need that. But in order to get all that, all the info in the shadows, I needed to get an ISO 640 for that to register.
Okay.
Adam, yours was the black and white where you're hiding your face.
Right.
But that's not the main focus of the picture. It's a good picture. I'm just saying you're hiding your face.
Right. I'm not hiding my face. I'm showing my camera.
Interesting.
I had actually a photo, just as an aside, the exact same shot, but with the 6D strap, like fully in focus, showing the Canon 6D. And then I said, no, I'm going to turn that around. That's a little bit too pompous, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wow.
Just want to let you know that I did that. I specifically used the one where the strap was turned around.
You've never depompousized.
Yeah, I know. It feels weird.
Growing up.
Yeah.
You're all grows up. Your ISO was 100.
Yes.
So lowest you could go because you had a lot of light going on there.
I had plenty of light.
Plenty of light. So that was last week's Exafoku.
Great.
This week's challenge. You issued it.
Yes.
All right. What was it? You talk about it then.
It was clouds.
Oh, that's, you know what? That's relatively simple to figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about it then.
Let's go to yours first because last time I went first.
Oh, that's correct.
You go first.
Okay. So mine, I was worried, man, that we weren't going to get clouds because as soon as you issued that challenge, bam, clear skies. And it's been nothing but clouds for months here. And then it was just clear skies. Awesome. Like not a single cloud in the sky.
That's terrible.
No, it worked out. I wouldn't mind losing the challenge on that technicality just so we'd have nice weather.
Right.
But however, we ended up getting the clouds rolled in, but nothing good. I wanted nice, big, fluffy spring clouds. Like, you know, the sort of summer, spring, nice, fluffy, white clouds. Didn't get that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know.
So, P.S., we're going to redo this again in the summer, I think.
Okay.
So, anyway, here's mine. I went and shot the storm brewing.
Yeah.
Not really a storm, though. It was just clouds. It was just gray, boring clouds. But I wanted to make it look like something interesting.
So you pointed.
That's get to that later. That's not the important part.
Okay.
What I did was I went out and put my polarizer on.
Okay.
First of all, circular polarizer to darken the sky. Now, to minimal effect. In this case, generally you'll need, you know, like in a sunlight situation. Where there's clouds is going to make a big difference in the sky. And that's what I was hoping for with the clouds. But in this case, it may be a 5% difference.
Okay.
I mean, just darkened. It's all basically, I think it acted essentially as a neutral density filter at this point.
Okay.
So that's that. But anyway, that contributed to the darkening. And then, like you talked about, I snapped this photo and I just thought, it's nothing on its own. We need a sort of a frame of reference, a point of reference in the photo.
Right.
And again, I was by myself this day, and so ended up being in it myself, did the run in, same as you.
Yeah.
Didn't jump because I knew how bad you got hurt last time. And so I positioned myself so that I would be in the tree line, and then I wanted to really pop out, so I have one flash that is actually in the photo. I needed so much flash power that the flash is bare at full power, and even I couldn't get it out of the frame and still get good enough light on me.
So then you had to just crop it out.
Photoshopped it out.
Oh, okay.
No, it's in this photo. Like it is.
Oh, okay.
It is so close to me in order to get enough light on me because of the f-stop that I chose.
Right.
That's a spoiler alert, because that's going to be the Exafoku this week, is going to be the, what's the f-stop?
And it's a really high one, you're saying.
Well, mine's going to be, I'm going to tell you it's high. That's the hint, because I had to darken the sky and stay within, you know, the maximum shutter speed.
Right.
And so I had to get the flash very close.
Okay.
And I just thought, hey, maybe I'm going to point up like it's Close Encounters of the Third Kind and just make it interesting.
Right, right.
And also hide my moneymaker. So there's that.
Yeah. Well, I think you did a good job at taking, yeah, what I would have thought would have been a nothing photo without you in it and making it an interesting photo. So I quite like the photo.
All right.
But I agree with you 100%. It completely needed you to be in it. Otherwise,
well, let's clarify that. I think it needed something.
It needed something. Yeah. I agree. It needed something. A person and what you did, where you placed yourself, how much you occupy in the frame, the contrast of, you know, on the dark pointing up. I think it all works well. But without that something in it, I would not have liked the photo at all. So
oh,
you
it was
did a good job.
Boring.
Yeah.
Without a frame of reference. So.
So good work.
Awesome.
I like the composition too. So,
thank you very much. All right.
Let's look
at your photo.
Mine was taken. again on another sunset. So I went to Steveston, Gary Point, one of my favorite places. I've taken various pictures here, that lighthouse there. But I did like, this was the last few minutes of sun before it went completely out. And so it's really low in the sky, really gold. And I watched a boat kind of coming back towards the Steveston Harbor. And I just tried to time it for when it kind of got near that lighthouse. And then I wanted, basically in my head, a sort of a panoramic type shot of Steveston with a boat coming past that lighthouse. Yeah. So I, of course, the clouds over there were, the intention of the photo was to capture some clouds, but I think more, I just, the whole scene I liked. So it was something that I really wanted the boat. I took this exact same photo without the boat, and Lisa, when I asked her, I think preferred that one, but I completely disagreed with her and overruled her and went with the boat photo.
Because I'm a man.
Yeah, yeah. So she said, I kind of like the other one. And I said, well, you're wrong. And I like the boat photo. So.
But I love that you're wrong, honey.
Yeah.
I love you anyways.
Yeah.
That's the key.
So there it is. That's it. Lots of purple and color. And
did you ratchet the colors up?
A little bit. Yeah. I saturated... I saturated the purples and the reds a little bit, but not very much actually. Mm. The color, it was pretty close to what the camera decided on the auto white balance. And all I did was, yeah, brought the purples up and brought the contrast up a bit.
No, it looks great. That, I mean, the one drawback really is that the clouds aren't prominent.
Right.
Which is the purpose, but, you know, that's nitpicking.
Yeah.
So no, it's a great time to take photos. I love the light at the spot at that time.
Yeah, no, me too. And I've never actually taken this photo as a scenic photo. I had taken one picture, I think, of Sarah and Lisa once with that as the backdrop. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't do a lot of sort of scenic photos, like landscapes or anything like that. So it's always, for me, it's always, I'm not sure, how do I compose it? Like, I'm always... you know, trying three or four different shots before I'm happy, because again, it's just not in my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So when I took this, and I took a few other kind of similar shots, and I just, again, it was good light. So I like how they all looked, and I played with, you know, exposure and how dark to make everything or how light. And again, I just seemed to like this dark. I liked it dark because of the gold light. It sort of lights up everything. And then you just get that contrast between the gold light and the dark purple and blues and stuff. So,
oh, sure.
Yeah, that's why I went with the exposure where I did.
And you chose a nice wide crop.
Yes.
No, I like it. I feel the same way about landscapes. It's not my wheelhouse.
Right.
And it's okay. I mean, when I look at pictures, I would much rather look at portrait pictures of people than I would of landscapes.
Me too.
And not judging, just personal preference.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, I do appreciate, you know, good pictures of landscapes, and sometimes I wish, you know, I did more the more I took better, you know, landscape pictures. But again, it's not something that ever really comes up all that often, or if I see a nice background, my first inclination is to put a person in front of it.
Same. Yeah. Well, maybe we should expand our horizons and learn how to do that.
Well, that's what we just tried to do
on the show. On the show, we'll get someone to tell us all about it.
Okay, all right,
we'll mark that down. Good job. I took an alternate picture, by the way.
Okay.
When it was clear that, when the sky was clear, put it that way, I thought, oh no, I'm not gonna get a cloud picture at all. And Adam's just gonna, I'm gonna fail horribly.
Right.
So I took a backup just in case it didn't happen. So that's the coffee mug you see there.
Okay, I see it.
And I was excited. I thought, okay, this will be. I was gonna use this as the challenge photo.
Right.
But then I was like, I figured that, I don't know, you'd probably just think it was about you.
Right.
So, and do you remember that time when you came to the party? We were at a party one time, and you showed up.
I don't remember,
and
you probably
do. I do. You'd walked into the party, the way you walked in, it was kind of like you were walking onto a yacht. Do you remember?
No,
you had a hat on, and it was like sort of strategically dipped below one eye.
No.
You're wearing a colored scarf, too.
Now we know this is a lie.
Was it an apricot?
This is all lies.
Okay.
I'm not a scarf guy.
All right. Moving on, then.
Okay.
Eggs of Oku for this one.
For which one?
For the ones, our challenges we just did.
Not the coffee.
No, the clouds.
Okay.
The actual clouds, not the clouds in my coffee, the other ones.
Right.
I shot mine, both full-frame photos.
Right.
I shot mine, the ISO was 100.
Okay.
Focal length was 50 mil, shutter speed was 1/200th, and I used a flash. What's the f-stop? What f-stop did I use to get that sky? Now, I should also make sure to point out again, I did have a polarizer, so it's probably a two stops polarizer. I'm going to guess roughly two.
Okay.
So whatever you guess for f-stop, minus two on that. That's what the actual f-stop was.
Great. Thanks for the photo map.
Mm-hmm. Adam's full frame photo of the fishing boat, ISO 320. Focal length, a good round 98 millimeters. And a shutter speed of 1/200th.
Great.
Now, was that on purpose? I guess that's not your sync speed, though, so it's probably entirely random.
Yeah, it's all right. Just random.
So what f-stop did Adam use to get to that? That's what we want to find out.
Okay.
This week's topic. This is part two in the fun category.
Great.
Because last week we did the fun, what have you, the shaped bokeh.
Shaped bokeh, yeah.
Yeah. This week, this is something I like to do. It sounds super easy. It probably is. But if you haven't thought about it, set up a photo booth. How to set up a photo booth.
How to set up a photo booth. This sounds good.
Don't actually, it's not actually a booth. That's the one spoiler. That's
okay, but you know what? You didn't tell me that we were talking about this, or maybe you didn't. I didn't pay attention.
You didn't.
But I'm actually going to do this for my daughter's birthday party. So
this
comes in handy. Yeah, me and Lisa talked about it. We're going to do it for Sarah's birthday party. We're going to set up a photo booth. So
okay.
I need to know how to do this.
Well, here's how I do it. There's many ways to do it. But hang on a second. I got a late breaking story coming in. Okay, moving on. You got kids, you know how it goes.
Yeah. Call the rent a photo booth hotline.
You could do that. They have that. And those are,
do they really?
Oh yeah, you can rent one. Like if at your wedding, like if you're spending if you're dropping a few Benjamins on your wedding,
right?
Get a photo booth.
You mean like one they have in the mall? They're just gonna like drop it in your party?
They wheel it in there, yeah, yeah. And basically, your guests get to just go in there and hit the button and take a series of four photos. And I don't know how it works exactly. If I understand correctly, it keeps a digital copy for you and it also spits out an actual printed, like the old printed one.
Right.
But I believe it's all digital now, so it's not. I don't know that it's a film thing.
Okay.
Like an actual film processing, like the old ones were. But yeah, you're going to spend a couple thousand bucks though, to get it out, you know, for a number of hours.
Right.
But it is a lot of fun. Here's how I end up doing it. First of all, I love these. They make great gifts. They're fun for parties or any event. And people kind of love the retro feel. I mean, there's still people old enough who've been in a real photo booth. So,
okay, yeah,
that's what people do. And I miss those. They were a lot of fun to just kind of go in. Like, I probably did it 5-6 times in my life.
I don't think I've ever done it, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now they're about $12, I think, so.
Yeah.
If you can find them.
It just wasn't something that, yeah, I ever did, so.
Ah.
I feel like I missed out.
Well, I'm sure you can find one somewhere, so I would do yourself a favor, and next time you and your wife are walking past a photo booth, pop in, spend the $12.
I will, and then I'm going to scan the photos and post them on Facebook.
Well, part of the...
No, I really am, yeah. That's the thing.
Oh, I would.
Really doing this tomorrow.
Part of the fun about them is that they're bad looking. Like, the photos aren't exactly, you know, portrait quality.
Right.
But that's kind of part of the charm. Like, it's a real created moment.
You know what's awesome is at Chuck E. Cheese, they've got essentially a photo booth, but it prints it out like a credit card for the kids.
Okay.
And they can, you can put different themes on it. Like, I know Sarah, like, just loves them. So she goes into Chuck E. Cheese and uses, like, 10 tokens, comes out with, I kid you not, like, 10 of these credit cards. And you can put, like, the princess on them or the diva background. And they have all the little names, oh, right? Yeah. And it even it's even so sexist that you push boy or girl and it gives you the boy themes versus the girl themes. Yeah. Yeah.
Aren't we past that?
So the kids' version of the photo booth still alive and well at Chuck E. Cheese.
And this is like you pay for every one or what?
Well, it's like a token, equivalent of a quarter. Oh. So yeah, you're not breaking the bank, and you get a card, like a hard plastic, like credit card type thing.
Oh man, you must have a whole room dedicated to those.
No, Sarah has like a little wallet. Like I gave her an old wallet, and she just stores them all in the wallet.
And can I assume that there's a lot of Chuck E. Cheese stuff on it, like a lot of advertising?
I don't think so, but I'll have to go back and look. No, I think it's like, yeah, it's just a machine, so I don't think it actually uses a lot of anything Chuck E. Cheese related.
So I'm thinking these could be two Hoser's business cards.
Yeah. Next time I'm just going to buy $10 worth of tokens and just...
That would be a great business card to hand out to somebody. Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, you know, like an old dot matrix printed kind of picture that's on there, but it's awesome. So I should have got my own. I didn't even think to do it.
Oh, next time. Very War Games looking.
Yeah.
The movie, not actual games of war. So how do you set one up? Well, no booth. You're just going to set this up in your house.
Okay.
It's the low rent version.
Or your birthday party.
Whatever it is. Whatever it is in your house, birthday party, wherever you go. What I'm saying is you're not going to haul a big booth. It's just your camera and a flash.
Okay.
But first things first, before you start that, you decide on a template first.
Okay.
This is important because you're going to need to know what aspect ratio you're going to set up for because you want them to be somewhat consistent.
Okay.
So the traditional ones are like you've seen the old strips. They're just kind of a 3x2 portrait setup.
Yeah, I was going to say 2x3 or 3x2 portrait.
Right,
yeah.
So up and down, usually.
Right.
And with a pretty tight lens. So, like, this results kind of in people's faces being misframed or cut off in certain areas. But embrace that.
Okay.
Run with it. Okay? So once you decide on your template, then you'll know when to set up. Like, where to set up and how, you know, what's going to be in the frame and what's not going to be in the frame.
Okay.
But again, I want to reiterate that there's no rules here to say that you want to make it square, make them square.
Right.
Because you're going to make your own template. That's the fun part. That's what I do. I don't like to just download. I'm sure you can download them, but I don't want to have a generic one. I want one that I make that looks like the old template.
Okay.
So now, next, you need a flash. This is important.
Just one.
It's up to you. I mean, I would say the old ones, the old actual photo booths aren't exactly particularly well lit.
Right.
So if you make it too well lit, it's going to not ring true.
Right.
So preferably you'll have an external flash and off the camera.
Right.
But not too, but first of all, if you do only have your pop-up flash, that's fine. Just use it. It's okay. If you want to put your external flash on your camera, I would just shoot it directly into the subject's face. I wouldn't worry about, you know, the harsh conditions. That's not really about that.
Right.
But if you can get it off the camera, I recommend that you do, but not too far.
Okay.
So slightly off camera flash is still going to give you a nice shadow. And if you look at the old pictures, there still is kind of a shadow in them. So... very typical. That's kind of vintage.
Okay.
So what I do is I set up my SB26, my Nikon flash, into a shoot-through umbrella, slightly above and just to the side of the camera. Okay? So it is nice light.
Gotcha, yeah.
It's nice light,
yeah.
But not too nice. Next, find a white wall. White wall's perfect for this. Okay? You can use whatever color you like, but white works pretty well and is kind of what, you know, the real ones are.
Okay.
Now set your subjects on a chair. I like to set something up like a chair or whatever so that everyone is the same. Because ideally, you're going to be running a whole bunch of your party guests through this photo booth.
Right.
So it's kind of nice if they all look the same.
Yeah.
So I'll set a chair up and have it actually a lot closer to the wall than I normally would. Normally you're...
Because you want the shadow.
You want that shadow. You want that kind of... that the constrained sort of booth feeling. Because right. those booths are very, very small. That's kind of part of the charm.
Right.
And so I set them relatively close to the wall so that we get that feeling. Again, when you light it, when the flash goes off, you want the wall to be white-ish. I mean, in terms of tone.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be perfect white. It's probably going to end up being a little bit gray. But that's, again, that's real. Okay?
Yeah.
So far, so good?
Gotcha, yeah.
Okay. If you have a tripod, use it. It makes your life a lot easier because now you can just cycle people through, bam, 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 bam. Okay? If you don't have one, it's not the end of the world. What ends up happening is generally you're in tight on people. So if the background changes a little bit, you're not really going to notice because the subject is the people.
Right.
So it's not the end of the world, but it will make your life much easier. So I do recommend using one if you have one.
Okay.
I would use a 50 millimeter lens on if I was using a crop sensor.
Right.
And an 85 if I was using a full frame.
Okay.
Now what that does is it makes the subjects get closer together. And part of the fun is going to be, you know, like your daughter and her friends. Let's say you have five of them in one shot. They're going to have to jam their heads really close together and stack on top of each other, and this like, and it makes for a lot of fun looking photos.
Okay.
So very very close. Now once you're set up for that, you bring the subjects in, have them sit in, and get ready for a series of four photos, because that's what the photo booths would do, right? They'd spit out a series of four.
Right.
What I try to do is space them out evenly. I get them ready, and I go, okay, I count down, like 3, 2, 1, we're starting. Snap the first photo, and then maybe every 2 seconds is probably about right. It'll feel right to you.
Okay.
It's hard to say, because what is 2 seconds? I mean, you know, in real world versus counting, I don't know. It's a thing.
But you kind of prepare them for that.
No, not really. I've never actually sat and counted, but I'm guessing it's about 2 seconds between, maybe 1 second. Again, you'll have to sort of experiment a couple times and figure out what feels right for you.
Okay.
The important part is that you keep it consistent between photos so that they know when to get ready for the next photo.
Okay, yeah, good point.
Now, here's the key. Take the next photo, no matter what happens. When that 2 seconds is up or 1 second, fire away. If they're not ready, they're not ready. And
because just like the photo booth.
Just like the photo booth. You're going to get these series of sort of random moments as they're maybe transitioning to the next face they're going to make. Maybe there's some confusion or invariably there is, and that makes for a fun photo.
Okay.
And this is the other rule I have. There's no redos. You do four photos in a row, and that's it. If you don't like one of them, we do four more.
Right.
And that's it. And those go in a series. I don't edit them because, again, not real.
Okay.
So once you have people sitting down there, sometimes they need motivation. Okay? So
yeah.
Sometimes I'll have a theme for the evening. So if it is someone's party, which I've done before, I've done this as a birthday present before.
Okay.
And so I'll have a bunch of preloaded themes that I'm going to throw out to people that I'm going to give to everybody. And so
right.
what I'm going to do is I'll have four pictures, you know, in my mind, tell everyone, okay, make your lion face. Everyone make your lemon face. Give me sad, give me happy, surprise, whatever they are, have four of them preloaded so that they can transition back and forth really quickly.
Okay.
And what ends up happening is they have fun in the picture. People at the party also see this going on. They get a big kick out of it. It's a lot of laughter. And when it's their turn, the tables are turned. You get a lot of natural-looking photos out of this.
Okay.
So I recommend having it out where everybody can see it.
We kind of, again, not having talked about this, doing this episode, one of the things that Lisa and I discussed, because we talked about doing a photo booth for Sarah's party, was... you know, bringing a bunch of props. So having like, because again, these are going to be, you know, 6-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to have, you know, some like a bunch of stuff from like a glittery hat to, you know, like a feather boa to, you know, maybe some cheesy sunglasses, like, again, just and let them kind of use the props however they see fit. But I just think, again, brings the comfort level up a little bit, especially for young kids, and they might participate a little bit more willingly if there's some cool stuff to put on.
Absolutely. And the little mustache on a stick people seem to like.
Sure.
Have you seen those?
No, but I can envision.
Oh, yeah. I've seen somebody in a photo booth with those, and they make for awesome pictures.
Okay.
Because they're a lot of fun. Or the Groucho Marx glasses or with the nose and the mustache on them or stuff like that.
Right, right.
Kids are going to have fun. The only downside to this is that you're going to have a lot of photos.
Right.
A lot of good photos. These are going to be good. But there is a lot of work involved afterwards.
Yeah. I'm used to that.
So. The good news is now there are automated programs that you can plug in, I'm sure, and it'll just take care of it for you. The only downside I find to that is that it is somewhat generic.
Right.
Which for six-year-olds, they might not care. But I take a weird sort of pride in having mine be unique. And so that it's they look legitimately, you know, like A, like a photo booth, B, like my own. Okay. And so when I make the template, which I have a few that I've already made, I sort of, make them with that in mind and have like a little blurred edge and stuff like that. But it does result in a little extra work down the road. So prepare yourself for that.
Okay. I can't wait.
So once you have all the photos, I do take them in raw. I take them in raw.
Yeah.
You could probably take them in JPEG if you want. It's not important as long as you get them right, but I would take them in RAW.
Okay.
Import them into whatever program you're going to use, Aperture, right. Lightroom, whatever, and make a correction on the first one of the series.
Right.
Okay. Now, this is a good opportunity for you to use stacks if you like. If you've never used them before, you can basically set your program, you can set Aperture to recognize pictures taken within a certain time frame as being a one group.
Okay.
So if you set the threshold to, say, 3 seconds and then take, at least a minute off or something between setups.
Right.
What Aperture will do is it will automatically group all photos taken in that small time frame into one group. So you'll have groups of four set up automatically.
Okay.
That comes in handy to do. Then you can separate those groups later if you want. But the point is, you do that, keep good track of them, and then you correct your first one. Do you make it black and white? Maybe. It depends. Some of them are black and white. Sometimes it works. It just works better in color, even though the traditional ones were probably black and white at first.
Right.
Color came out later. They actually did have color ones.
I think I've only ever seen color ones.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I think the super traditional ones are black and white. And that's the thing is when I process them, I process them black and white, I make them a little bit soft. I sometimes will add a slight blur to them just to make them look old-timey.
Okay.
Now, the good news is you don't have to. You can experiment with the first one and say, okay, that's how I like it, and then make the rest of them. So that's what I do is I process the first one, and then I copy and paste the attributes across all of them.
Right.
And I don't worry if they aren't exactly consistent, because imperfection works in this case. So it's kind of dialed in with the old vintage feel.
Right.
Once that happens, now I export them as JPEGs. Now, what I do is I know going in how big I need them. So if my template is going to be, it's going to be web-based, let's say I'm just going to email these.
Right.
Well, these pictures are going to be very, very small. Possibly 100 pixels.
That's really small.
If you're only going to use them for Facebook and stuff, yeah. But it is four pictures in the template, so you're still looking at a picture that's going to be 500 pixels high.
Right.
So maybe it's more. You have to experiment ahead of time, but the good news is you can export it already pre-sized, and then you don't have to do much extra work down the road.
Oh, I see.
Okay. So that's what I do. Now, if you're going to get them printed, which I also do that as well, now you're going to want to print them at a higher res.
Right.
You export them at a higher res. So that's something you're kind of have to decide on.
So if you're going to get them printed, how, like, what are you printing your strip as?
Ah, now that's what I do is I, these are things I print myself on my inkjet printer. Now, okay. I print almost nothing on my inkjet printer photo-wise, except for these. These are just something that, why not? They look good. What I end up doing is I create a template for my for the one strip. And they are vertical. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. I make them the traditional vertical format.
Right.
Pick white borders or black. It's really up to you. They're both done. They're both traditional, so you can pick what you like. If you're shooting against a white background, you probably want black borders.
Right.
If you're shooting against a colored, if you have color in the picture, white borders might work better. Again, it's just up to you, 100% taste. Now, once I get each strip set up, I then basically build a 8.5 by 11 or an 8 by 10 of multiple strips into one image.
Oh, I see. Yeah, and then just cut them after the fact.
Correct. So I'll print that out and then cut them with scissors after.
Right. Makes sense.
Again, there are, I want to say there are probably better ways to do this, or much faster ways. But this is the one that gives me the best results. The results I like the best. It requires a little more elbow grease. I'm okay with it. So there's okay. that. Now, once you get those all printed and all that and cut them up, these are great gifts. Because you'll find that your friends or your kids' friends will probably have them on the fridge and whatnot. And it's a great little, wow, what a great party that was.
I like it.
So that's it. That's I think that covers everything. I mean, it does require that you have a little understanding of Photoshop.
Right.
So I didn't know if I was supposed to go into all of the Photoshop techniques or what have you. So maybe down the road, if that wasn't clear on how I do it.
Okay.
One tip, what I end up doing is I create a layer with the black borders.
Yeah.
And I drag all four of my JPEGs in as separate layers.
Okay.
And those layers are under the black.
Of course, so, yeah.
Well, not necessarily of course, but in this case, of course.
Okay.
This way, what I end up doing is when I line them all up, let's say I make the – let's say the hole that it's going to fit in is going to be 200 pixels.
Okay.
I will then export my image – at 210 pixels to just have a little bit of extra room.
Right, so you can kind of compose it the way you want.
Compose it or, yeah, exactly. And that way you have a little bit of extra bleed room to mess with, so you know you're not going to have an accidental white strip in somewhere where you shouldn't.
Right.
So that's what I do. I always give myself a little extra wiggle room. And then it's just going to be behind the black strip anyways.
Right.
Now, the one downside, one thing you do have to remember, if you make it too large, pictures will overlap, like they'll stick out through the into the next frame.
You don't want that.
That's going to cause you extra work down the road. So it's going to take a little bit of messing around ahead of time, and then once you have that dialed in, it's a pretty simple process.
Well, I'm going
to
try.
I look forward to seeing the results.
Okay, well, you're going to have to wait a little while. Sarah's birthday's not next week. So.
Yes, yeah. Well, good news is we recorded this early, so maybe it already happened. Who knows?
Right, that's right. I forgot.
Who knows? So next week's challenge, I have it. I have it dialed in.
Is it blurred bokeh?
Shaped bokeh? No.
No, not blurred.
No,
you're
going to do a test photo booth.
Oh, test photo booth.
It's a great time to test. You got to practice it out. Practice it up.
All right.
Practice it out. Test it out.
Okay, and that gives me a few more months to practice my shaping bokeh technique.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to email you my template too, because I know your work ethic.
Right.
So there's that.
I'm actually staring at one of your templates on my desktop.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have one. I have a white background template that you've already given me, but how about you give me different sizings? It looks like a 2x1, but how about you give me a few options here?
Okay. I'll give you a few. I'll work up a few options.
Yeah. Well, you probably already have them saved.
Some of them.
I'm imagining, don't make a new one for me, just what you've got.
Will do.
All right.
Next week, photo booth. That's it.
Photo booth. Can't wait.
I'm excited. I might try to incorporate shape bokeh into it somehow.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Don't hurt yourself.
Just kidding. I'm not going to.
I didn't think so.
Oh, great. Okay, so Adam, where can people find all your photos?
Again, Facebook or maybe Schwartz Chronicles.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's never rule that out.
With spring break coming, perhaps your wife will have a little more time.
Yeah, maybe.
And if I can give her a tip,
okay,
it would be to backload a bunch of them when she has a day, write like 12 posts.
That's what she does. Wow. See, that's exactly what she does.
Here we are.
But she just hasn't done that a lot lately. Yeah. So I imagine spring break will be just a blog fest.
Yeah. Wow. That'll be a great break.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And your stuff?
AlanEtridge.com or the two of, or Facebook, of course. And the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything you want to know, all past episodes, which are all up there. But did you know that?
Now I do.
Yeah, if you go to Two Hosers and click on episodes, you'll see every single one of our 115 episodes listed.
And it wasn't like that before?
Yeah, it was. I don't know when the last time I mentioned it was.
Okay.
And plus, they're in descending order. So, like, okay. Yeah, they're actually in some sort of semblance of order.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't like to say it because it sounds like bragging, but yeah, I am awesome.
Okay.
I'm glad you said it.
Okay. Yeah.
So go check that out, where you can find our Twitter and what everything else. You know, Facebook. Everything's on there. Google Plus. Let's not forget Google Plus.
No, don't forget Google
Plus. We have people who still like us on Google Plus, so it's all the thing. Everything's out there.
Okay.
So that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.